I remember we put the sand up here. My mom about went ballistic, and she's not even on the interior design team here. She was like, I cannot believe you're bringing sand. And I know she was thinking the same thing with the donuts. But we're celebrating something called Pentecost Sunday today. And, you know, it's just something about our heritage. I came here, it was 8 years ago to the day. It was 8 years ago today that I stepped into Dominion Church in a Hilton hotel. Excuse me, I get a little emotional. The ushers all look back, they're like, be a man. You see them? But it was 8 years ago to the day that I stepped in here. And I came in hungover from a party, from a graduation party. I was 18 years old. And I thought this was the weirdest church I've ever been to in my life. Just be honest. I'd never seen people like dance and lift their hands and do all this stuff. That, you know, as much as we got was clapping at our church. But I came here, and it was that day that the Lord just changed my world. He changed everything about my life, and he started me on a journey that has led me here to be a minister. And this is the furthest thing I thought I would be doing in my life. And my mom and my brother and everybody are saying, yeah, probably so. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about being filled. And for 21 years of my life, I ate glazed donuts. And glazed donuts are great. How many of you like glazed donuts? Can I get a hearty amen? These are really good. Now, I know that some of y'all are like, I hear the youth section over there saying, just give it to me. I ate this for 21 years, Jeremy. And Jeremy, I'm going to give this to you just to hold through the search. Don't touch it or don't eat it. But at 21 years old, I discovered something. I went to Shipley's and I was feeling a little froggy that day. And I was like, I was about to jump off. I was going to leap off. And I found a filled donut. And it's not just any filled donut, church. This is one that has a feeling of raspberry filling. Can I get a hearty amen? I knew that there was something in my life that had just changed when I bit into this and experienced a filled. Now, I'll show you this. This donut has a hole in it. This donut does not. For any of you big men in here, you know that more is better. Less is not better when you're talking about food. More is better. So I found that I could get a little bit more donut for my price. I could get a little bit more donut for my buck, and I would experience a little bit of fullness from getting the filling. It's just something about being filled. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Now today, I want to talk to you about being filled with the Spirit. Now you hear this term, and automatically you think about, oh, well, those are the kooky people, right? Those are the ones that speak in tongues. Those are the ones that dance. Those are the ones that do all this kind of stuff. And I ran across this, and here's what the Assembly of Gods is all about, all right? I got this. A kindergarten teacher gave her class a show-and-tell assignment and bringing something to represent their religion. The first boy got in front of the class and said, my name is Benjamin, and I'm Jewish, and this is the Star of David. Second boy got in front of the class and said, my name is Mary, or that's a girl. It says boy. I'm just reading. Maybe his parents hated him. I don't know. This is not going so good so far. I'm a Catholic, and this is the crucifix. The third boy got in front of the class and said, my name is Tommy, and I'm an Assembly of God man, and this is a casserole. So we're all about, baby. For me, it would have been a filled jelly donut. You know, donuts, I like them, but I like them filled. Gas tanks, I like them full. And if you ask my wife, she'd say I'm a lot nicer person when my stomach is full. As a young boy, my mom always knew that I was hungry because I got mean. And once I got some food in my stomach, and ladies, you know this, is your husband a little nicer when he's full? It's usually because you get this glazed look over your face and the TVs, and you just start going, you just get nice. Everything gets better when you're full. And you know, it's the same thing in your Christian life. You are better when you're full. You're better when you're full of the Spirit. Not full of it, but I'm talking about full of the Spirit. So this morning, I want to talk about that. This morning, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. It's a heritage of Holy Ghost takeover. It's something that it's in our DNA. It's in our genetic code. We believe in that. It's what got me into the family of God. It was a prophetic word by Lisa Ross, who just stepped out on obedience and said, hey, you in the blue polo shirt, you need to live right. And I just gave my heart to God. And it changed me forever. I stand before you today because the gifts of the Holy Spirit were working. Somebody was filled with the Spirit enough to say, hey, look, this is the way, walk in it. And I stand before you because of that. Now, we have a book that we're going to give you at the end of this, and we're asked that you just take one per family. But it's a book that answers some questions about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to go over these questions this morning. These questions are this. What is it, the filling of the Holy Spirit? What must one do to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit? What are the immediate evidences, and what are the long-range benefits? So this morning, what is it to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We sang a song today. We went an oldie but a goodie. It reminded me of when I came here to the church at the Hilton. And it said, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. And then Dina gets off, and she goes off, and she says, they were gathered there. Come on, y'all can sing it. Larry Leffert wants to come up here and sing it with me, right? But they were gathered in an upper room. See, what is it? The experience that the 120 people in this upper room experienced, that's what the filling of the Holy Ghost is all about. And it says it in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, if you can put it up on the screens and just read along. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, today, I know that tongues of fire are not going to come and sit over you, but it's the part of being filled. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit that comes and changes everything on the inside. That's the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's also called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Here's what John the Baptist says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Now Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples right before he ascended into heaven, he reiterates this in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. He says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is something very unique and very cool about the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you have ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? It's something that has to be talked about. It's something that has to be experienced. You can't really explain it in words, but when it happens to you, just know. See, when I came here, it was like I experienced a revelation of Christ. I knew who he was, and I started to follow him. It was a week after that I went to Cancun, Mexico, and you know what happens in Cancun? Nothing good, okay? It's just none but a bunch of drunk teenagers there. And I was the only sober guy on the booze cruise. Okay, you don't go on booze cruise to be sober. I want you to get that. I was the only guy on the boat. But what happened was I had a revelation of Christ. And it changed me. But can I be honest with you? I still struggled. When I saw a beer, I would be like, man, that's good. I really want that. And can I be really honest? I fell. About a month afterwards, I fell and I got drunk. And I felt so horrible. I don't think I've ever told anybody that. Okay, but you're the first. Just don't repeat it. It's like we're sitting eating the eye to eye at Starbucks. But just don't tell anybody else. But what happened was I went to this conference. And conferences are good, some are bad. But this one, I had an experience. What they did is they took us to this room. It was like an upper room. And they explained the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, being a young believer and not set in my ways and not knowing all this kind of stuff in church and this and that, I said, you know what? I want that. And there was this, like, this desire in my heart that said, I need that. I want that. And I experienced that for the first time. And what happened was it changed my entire world. It changed my entire outlook. I was different. I came back. You asked my girlfriend at the time, who was Casey. She was like, who are you? We had to break up for a little bit because she thought I was just too much of a Jesus freak. And I thought she was a little too Catholic. The crucifix over the bed. You ask my mom when I came back from that difference. There was something that changed in me. I had all these CDs, and you know what I'm talking about. Y'all got the CDs too, 50 Cent and all that kind of stuff. I see, and Ricky Ross has Aladdin. I don't know where that comes from. That's okay. That's okay. It's a little weird, but it's okay. But I came home and I had all these things. I crushed them. You know, I went off on it. I was burning. I was sin. You know, I'm not going to give them. I'm not going to sell them. I'm getting rid of it. And there was something different. My brother, he gave me all his Christian CDs, and man, that's all I listened to. And he was kind of soft, you know, he wasn't in the hard rock, so man, I became soft, and I just listened to praise, and I had this awesome truck that had a system in it. We called it the Praise Mobile. We went to U of H in Fifth Ward, baby, and you could hear me coming. It was like, glory, glory. I found some songs, some good praise and worship songs that had some good bass, so I don't know where I'm going with that. Jesus, thank you. It all changed when I got filled. It all changed. You see, there's something so unique and cool about this experience. It's a promise to be claimed. You see, in Acts 1:4, Jesus says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise." Turn to your neighbor and say, "The promise." There's a lot of promises in the Bible, but this is the only promise that states it's the promise. It is the promise of God coming down and not forsaking, God coming down and abiding in us and with us forever. It is the promise. So it's kind of like this. It's like when someone writes you a check, that check ain't worth anything until you cash it. That check ain't worth, I can't go to the store and just say, "I got a check, it's $50. I have to go to the bank and cash it. And that's kind of like what Christ is doing. He's saying it's a promise that has to be claimed. It's a gift that has to be received. See, it's packaged up. It's ready to go. But we have to take it with our hands. We have to go. See, at Christmas time, I'm not looking for my brother's presents. I'm not looking for Casey's presents. I'm looking for my presents with my name on it. And I'm going over there to grab it. I don't need a Santa Claus to say, "Oh, Clint, here you go." I can go pick it up. And Christ is saying, what this is the promise for you to be claiming. You have to grab it. You have to go get it. And not only that, it's a command to be obeyed. In that same verse, Acts 1:4, it says, "Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard from me." King James. I don't usually read that. But I want you to understand this. Jesus Christ, when he speaks, he means it. His words, he's not just saying, hey guys, it's my last thing I'm going to say to you. This is the last thing before I depart. You know, if you feel like it, wait here. Because you'll get something that's luxurious. You'll get something that's really good. You know? But if you don't want to wait, go ahead and go start the ministry and do that. No, he says, wait. Wait until you receive the gift of my Father, the promise of my Father. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. It's a command that we must be obeying. We have to wait to experience this. So the next question, what must we do to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I'm glad you asked, because I was going to tell anyways. The answer in its simplest of forms is this: ask God. Ask God for it. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, though you are evil," look at your neighbor and say, "You are evil. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You see, when we ask God, we got to ask God with some oomph in it. You know what I'm saying? We can't go and ask God, well, you know, half-heartedly, "Give me the Holy Spirit." No, God is saying, you got to ask. And if you're going to ask, ask wholeheartedly. Seek it with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart." See, so we got to do this thing. We're going to do it. We're going to do it 100%. It's like the kamikaze air pilots. You know what I'm talking about? Why do they wear helmets? Why? You know what a kamikaze? Why? I'd go in a tank top. What's up? See you later. No, I won't. You got to do it 100%. No turning back. You get in the airplane, you get in the cockpit, you are going. And you're just going forward. There's no turning back. And that's the way Christ is saying, I want you to live a Christian life that is full go. 100%. No turning back. Ask with all of your heart, not just some of it. Ask with all of your heart. And James tells us that we can ask, but we shouldn't doubt. So when we ask, don't have any doubt in your heart. Listen to what he says. And I know I'm going fast, but I'm just excited to be here. James 1:6-8 says, "But when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does." Now look at your neighbor ask him, are you an unstable man? Why did I do that? Because I just need a drink. I'm just out of control. I'm going to get in trouble. Can I say this? If this is your first time here, don't base this church off me. Our pastor is preaching a leadership conference, and he is the man, okay? He is the man. You do want to come back and experience our pastor. He is awesome. Just had to throw that in there. It's job security. It's sincere, too, I promise. But do you understand that firm faith and a great sense of need is prime requisites for receiving the Holy Spirit? It's kind of like, you know, when I was in college, I had to take algebra before I could take algebra 2 or pre-calculus for a business. Man, to really receive the fullness of Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit, you have to have faith in Christ. You have to know Christ. See, the disciples had followed him for over 2 years, 3 years. They followed him. They loved him. They served him. That you have to have firm faith, and then you have to have a great sense of need. Can you imagine what it was like with those 120 people in the upper room? Jesus had just ascended, and he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. I can imagine that there was some expectation in that room. There was something. There was not one person that was just sitting on the side going, oh, God, I'm ready for lunch. They were all gathered in one place, in one accord, and they had a firm faith. They had a need that was great, and they were going to receive what God had promised them in the Holy Spirit. You see, with my life, it was such a life-altering experience when I received him. It was life-changing, and we should not be satisfied with anything less. Some of us only got a taste of what the Holy Spirit is about, and we really haven't experienced the fullness of what God has for us. Now, how many of you have ever heard of a chameleon? It's a little lizard. And what it can do, it has the capability of changing colors based on its mood. And can I get a better amen from some of your spouses, right? Moody. Casey would say, that is you. I'm pretty moody. But they can change based on their mood or on their surroundings. And how many of you know people like that? You know, you come to a Spirit-filled church, and all of a sudden, a person walks in, and they're just like, how you doing? I'm blessed. How you doing? Oh, praise God. He's awesome. You know, and then they go to the office, and it's a totally different lingo. You know what I'm saying? So they're like a chameleon. You know, in church, man, they got their church clothes on. They are ready to go. They can say the Christian ease back and forth. Blessed, not cursed. All this kind of stuff, quote the scripture, do all this kind of stuff. But when they get in another place, into another surrounding, it's not so much those Christianese that they're talking. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is when the Spirit is filling you, when the Spirit fills you, it's not like a chameleon, it's more like a caterpillar. You know what I'm talking about? It's a larva, and then it spins a cocoon, then it hibernates. And while it's hibernating, it's this pulpit. While it's hibernating, there's something that's happening. It's like a complete change, a metamorphosis. That's a big word. I usually don't use that. I don't have to. I speak to youth. I'm joking, guys. You know I love you. Guys, there went half the youth ministry right there. It's not offending the adults. Sorry. But what happens is it's a complete change. It's not just one of appearance, but it's one of appearance and nature. See, the nature of a larva is to crawl. The nature of a butterfly or a moth is to soar. It's to fly. And so instead of just becoming a chameleon and just changing your appearance, you change everything. Everything about you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit starts to change. Your whole attitude changes. Your whole mindset changes. Everything that you desired in the past is now a different direction. You got a field. It's like you're a raspberry donut, baby. Things are different. You're whole. You don't have the whole anymore. You're whole. You're complete. I'm telling you, God wishes to effect a metamorphosis in the Spirit-filled life. Timid to bold, weak to strong, quiet to being more vocal. Maybe in my case, vocal to being a little bit more quiet. The change can be deep and real when the Spirit dwells within. But the Spirit's got to dwell within. And you got to ask God for it. The next question we'll talk about is, what are the immediate evidences? And this is where I kind of want to pause for a little bit and just put a disclaimer out there. When you hear the word Pentecost, a lot of these negative connotations come up. You know, when the outside person, oh, well, the Pentecost, well, they just speak in tongues. That's all they do. You know, that's an element of being spirit-filled, of speaking in tongues. But it's not the whole. It's not even the main thing. It's just the portion that, it's kind of like getting rims on your tires, you know? It's just, it looks a little better. It's better. But it's not the entire thing about being spirit-filled. You see, you'll notice, like, the disciples, when they followed Christ, they were unfaithful. They were just unsteady, unsure. When Jesus got arrested and went on trial, what'd they do? They fled. You know, Peter, he was so bold, right? A little girl asked him, aren't you one of the disciples? Uh-uh. Little girl. But what happened after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Something got inside of them. And they all of a sudden, they became bold. They became brave. They spoke the word of God boldly in spite of bitter persecution. It was the same guy, Peter, that denied it with the little girl, but it was the same guy, Peter, that proclaimed to 3,000, repent and be baptized. And 3,000 were added to the family that day. See, something changes. Something, there's evidence that change happened. One of those is that we become witnesses for Christ. You see, Christ didn't say in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to speak in tongues. He didn't. He said, you shall receive power to be witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. See, one of the evidences that we overlook is that we are to become witnesses. World missions needs to be a focus. Family missions need to be a focus. School missions need to be a focus. That has to be our focus because we are receiving power through the Holy Spirit to tell people, to testify about His goodness and His grace in our life. Amen. That's one evidence. The second one is overcoming sin. Victory over sin. You see, before I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, I was still struggling with the same old stuff. You got that baggage. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And your leg just kind of limps like that. You love God and you're following Him, but your just leg limps. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know you do. Need salvation every week. They come up here, and what happens is when that spirit comes in your life, all of a sudden the sin that had control over you, it loses its power. And it's not that it lost its power. It's just that you gain power. It's that there's something different inside of your life now that you can say no to. That beer, it used to be so good looking to me, but when I had the Spirit in me, it didn't look so good anymore. Something else looked good. It was Jesus. The Holy Spirit always points towards Jesus. And so my focus was on Him. It was about my destiny. It was about the promise that I had in my life. And it allowed me to overcome sin. Yes. Now we are going to talk a little bit about speaking in tongues. It is the first initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to give you some references so that you can look them up. Mark 16, Jesus said, and the signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. And here's some of those. In chapter 2, verse 4, in Acts, he says, Pentecost, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In chapter 10, verse 46, it says this, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then chapter 19, verse 6, in Ephesus, Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. You see, that's one of the first initial physical evidences that you received it. But it's not the main. You know what I'm saying? We get so caught up. And I heard the story of one little boy. He was trying to think, how does the wind blow? How does the wind blow? You ever thought about that? That'll blow your mind. How does the wind blow? And he came to the conclusion that it was the branches. When the branches move, that caused the wind to blow. That's preposterous. That is not true. But in his mind, he was thinking, that's what it is. And you know, we come to the same conclusion sometimes when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, if you speak in tongues, He'll come. If you speak in tongues, then you'll get filled. When it's the other way around. It's when He comes, you'll speak in tongues. Oh, well, if you fall down, He'll come on top of you. No, if you shake and you tremble, He'll come and you'll receive it. No, it's the other way around. Sometimes that happens. But it's when the Spirit comes, you rob yourself of a great experience, of a life-changing experience, when you say, oh, well, it's the branches moving that causes the wind to blow. Oh, well, it's just tongues that brings the Holy Spirit. No, it's the Holy Spirit that comes that brings everything. It brings change. What are the long-range benefits? We've covered what it is, And that, what is it? I don't know. We covered what's the immediate physical evidences. Now I want to talk about what are the long-range benefits. See, the Holy Spirit comes to abide. He doesn't come to visit. You know what I'm saying? He comes to set up shop in your life. See, Jesus, this was so cool. When I was in college, they always said, you know what, Jesus doesn't want to date you. He wants to marry you. He's not interested in a date, but he's interested in a ring, a commitment. And see, that's what happens. God sends his Holy Spirit to abide in us. Listen to what Christ says. John 14, 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Say forever. Forever. It's three syllables. See, what happens is this. He comes and sets up shop in our life. He comes to abide and live in us. And that's such a cool thing. There's so many benefits of receiving the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit. You don't have to just be slain in the Spirit. There's comfort in the Spirit. There are gifts of the Spirit that we can all have. We can all experience. And one of the cool things that I was reading in Ephesians 5:18, it says, be thou not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And if you look in that, to be filled means a filling. It's like a continuous filling. It's not just a one-time experience, but it's a continuous filling of the Holy Spirit. So like if your tank's low, you can come to church and get refilled. You can get refilled and continue to walk in the Spirit and be filled and filled again. We see the disciples, they were filled on Pentecost, but then they went back in chapter 5 and they just got done proclaiming the gospel in front of the Sanhedrin, and they went back and they started praying again and they got refilled. You see, something happens, and I told the prayer team this. When I used to get drunk, I used to get drunk every weekend, because the drunkenness would wear off. You know what I'm saying? And so I had to redo it. I had to experience that high again and again and again. And it's the same thing with the Spirit. Man, when I experienced that for the first time and the Holy Spirit came in me, I didn't want to be drunk on wine anymore, but I want to be filled with the Spirit. I had this hunger and this thirst, and I did not know that I could get it day in and day out and have that experience day in and day out. But it changes your life when you understand that you can just have this constant flow. We're like a conductor. See, a plug is worthless until it's plugged into the power source. And if our life is not plugged into the power source, the Holy Spirit, then we are worthless. It's that which gives us the power to live. There's lots of benefits. And this is the last thing I want to say. When you talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, you think about the gifts, you think about the manifestations, you think about all the cool stuff. And man, I've seen some cool stuff over the 8 years I've walked for Jesus. I myself have been healed. My back has been completely healed. I've seen deaf ears be opened. I've seen lots of cool things happen. But you know what the coolest thing is? It's when people start walking and producing fruit. See, the Holy Spirit is a producer. And he doesn't just produce anything. He produces a Christ-like nature in us. See, when we receive the filling of the Holy Ghost, what happens is we are receiving the nature of God. And over time, what is produced is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All those things summed up is Christ-likeness. It's to be like Christ. It's to have his nature. And that's the main thing. If we can understand that a peach tree is a peach tree because it produces peaches. A Christian, man, they used to sing this song when I was growing up, and we were always in the back just making fun of them. But like I know some of you are. Just making fun of me over there. They would sing this song. It said, they will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. And what's the first fruit that God says? Fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, they will know we are Christians by the fruit that we produce. The world outside there will know that we are different because of the fruit that is in our life. You see, let me just say one more thing about fruit. Until the fruit is in place in your life, the gifts will not be manifested. Until you produce the fruit. Now listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. If I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. See, if the fruits are not in their place, then the gifts really can't impact the way God intended them. Oh yeah, you might be able to speak in tongues, you might be able to prophesy, but it doesn't have the same impact as if you had the fruit in your life. And I am just so fed up with people saying, well, I'm just going to flow in the gifts. Well, you know what? Walk in the Spirit. Just walk in it. Walk in that Spirit, because it'll produce the love, it'll produce the joy, it'll produce the peace and the patience and all that stuff to produce in you a nature that is not your own, so that you can walk and discern and be able to use the gifts that impact the world. Not just here in the altar, but outside at your job. Not just here in the classroom, but outside in your school classroom. I'm telling you, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we will see such a mighty move of God. I was praying last night, and I was just asking God, speak. Just speak. What is it that you want to say? And you know, he kind of spoke to me in a weird way. He said, but you have yet to see me move. But you have yet to see me move. But you have yet to see me. Well, I was like, God, I've seen you move. You've only seen the tip. You've only seen the tip. I am ready for a people to gather in one place and to experience such a life-changing, life-altering filling that we impact like the first century Christians impacted. That they were adding daily to the church, that they were adding daily to the family of God. But you have yet seen me move. Today, I know that some of you, and maybe most of you, have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you've been filled with His presence. But today, I want you to ponder this question. Are you full? Are you full? Are you full today of His presence? Are you full today in such a way that'll let you live your life and make an impact like He did? See, Christ said, it's better that I go and that I will send one in my place. Greater things will you do because I go to the Father. Greater things will I do, or will you do, because He goes to the Father. Think about it. You've been filled, but are you full? You've been filled, but are you full? Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, you are such an awesome God. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would come and touch our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would move, God, in each heart and in each mind. And God, I pray right now, Lord, if we have not received the fullness of who you are, God, if there are those that don't know you, God, right now, I pray that you would touch their hearts right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and no one looking around, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Christ in a real and personal way? And I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive Christ today in a cool way that you just are so connected with Him by raising your hand. If you don't know Christ, I want you to just slip your hand up right where you are and put it right back down. If you don't know Christ, thank you, Lord. This next one is for those that are not full. You're sitting here today and you're like, man, I want to impact. I want my life to matter. I want to get to my full potential. And I've been filled, but I'm not full. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. There's one. Hands all across. All across. There's another. There's another. I just need to be filled up. There's another. I want to ask you to stand, everybody. Celebration of Pentecost Sunday. On this day, over 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit fell for the first time. 8 years ago, it fell on my life. And today, I pray it falls on us. If you raised your hand, and you want to be full again of His presence, then I'm going to ask you just to come to this altar and ask Him. We're going to put into play. Just come on down. Don't be embarrassed. We're not past 12 o'clock. But just ask Him. We need a refilling. We just need to be full of His presence. Just ask. I want you to do it like this, like the Bible says. If you remember, all you got to do is ask Him. But in doing that, you got to ask wholeheartedly without doubt. Don't focus on anything else, but focus on Him and focus on His Spirit just coming to fill you up to overflowing. Christ says it's rivers of living water that will flow through your life. Don't receive anything less than that. Ask wholeheartedly. Ask without doubt. Believe that today we're going to leave here different. We're going to leave here filled up. We're going to leave here changed. We're going to leave here with a life-altering experience that you might have experienced, but there is something new in this place this morning that we can receive, that we can experience in such an awesome and mighty way. Those of you that are in the crowd, I ask you, just reach out and pray. Just lift your hands and pray. Pray. Let's be in one accord. Let's have an upper room experience. Let's do something that's different. Let's have a first century type church that is all out of this world and that's more about Him than about other things. God, right now, I pray that You fill us up. God, that You would fill us up to overflowing. In the name of Jesus, God, right now. God, we don't doubt. There's no disbelief, God. Wholeheartedly, God, we seek You. God, we seek Your face, God, right now. Lord, we ask for Your Holy Spirit, God, to just refill. God, fill our lives up to overflowing. Right now. Thank you.